Welcome to the Peavine Podcast, where each week we bring you the message from our Sunday morning worship service with Pastor Joel Sutherland. We take timeless biblical truth and help you to apply it in the context of your daily life. If you'd like to join us live at one of our campuses or stream one of our services online, go to peavine.org for times, locations, and more information.
Thank you to our praise team. I know all of our campuses, they do such a great job. Thank you for that. Proverbs chapter 24, if you have your Bibles. Rossville, Dalton, online, thank you for joining us and engaging. Let me say to Rock Spring, thank you so much for parking in the new parking lot. We sent that email out this week, and it's the most full it's ever been. And for those of you in the big room here, the overflow room is pretty full over there right now, and so it took it, you moving down there. Hey, I'm going to say something I never say. Man, I hate to say this. I feel terrible for saying it. We don't want to be this way. It's why we have an expansion project. If you'd like to give to Say Yes, you can help us out tremendously. We're hoping to start on that very soon. But as quickly as you know, you can exit, you make room for somebody else, and it helps out so much. So I'll just say that and leave it there, because I don't want you to leave in a hurry. All right, let me talk about first class. How do I get what they've got? I started this series last week. We talked about first class forgiveness. Let me say this. Thank you so much for all the kind messages and, man, just God setting people free from that forgiveness sermon last week. If you missed it, go back and catch it for sure. We're looking at, and I'm basing the whole thing on, you know, when you're sitting about two, worst seat on a plane is about two rows back in coach, and you can see what first class has, you just don't get it. And so we see other people like that in our lives. They have something we'd love to have. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. Paul said, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Sometimes it takes the gospel in flesh a little bit to give us an example of what it ought to look like. So we're looking at those over the next few weeks. So today, from Proverbs 24, I want to preach on first class family. First class family. Now, let me say this right off the bat. Everybody look right here up at me, wherever you may be, whatever campus at, online. Hey, I understand the stress of family. I've done it. I am doing it. Like, I get all the stress of family, especially if you're a young couple and you've got toddlers at home and you just want to do everything right. Can I alleviate you of some pressure? You are not going to do everything right. You're raising a serial killer too, right? We're just all doing the best we can. Hope they change later on in life. Like, we're just trying, man. We're trying. And the fact is, there's no prescription I can give you that guarantees absolute success, because here's the problem. We're dealing with human beings that at the end of the day have a mind and will of their own and will stand before God themselves, whether that's your children, grandchildren, your husband, or your wife. But what we can do, what I can try my best to do, is you to keep your family, your marriage, here's the way I liken it. We're trying to stay in a lane and stay out of the ditch and stay away from oncoming traffic. Does that make sense? Like, I don't want to wander over here and get head on. I don't want to wind up in a ditch. I'm trying to keep it between the white line and the yellow line. How do we keep our family from the in the white line, yellow line? We're going to make mistakes. We're going to do things wrong. You're going to make mistakes. You're in the flesh. You're going to do some things wrong. What we're trying to interrupt today is that constant repetition of the same mistakes when the Bible gives us a prescription for doing better. So that's what I want to talk about today. The book of Proverbs is a book of advice. That's what Proverbs are. It is advice. They're not promises, they're Proverbs. And so here's a book of advice that says, hey, here's a good way to manage your family. Here's a good way to manage your marriage. And so that's what I want to look at today. And I've got one big premise. If you were going to write something down, write this down. You are building the home you are living in. I mean, that's just the bottom line. Whether we like that or not, you are building the home, and you know what I mean by home, that you're living in. Like, it is a result of what you do day in and day out. So I want to unpack that over the next 30 minutes if you'll hang with me, all right? Saw this stat come across my office the other day. It was a series. 1 in 3 families sit in complete silence during dinner with no conversation at all. 30% of families say they struggle, about the same amount, to find topics to talk about at mealtime. Now, we've all seen these families, right? Out at a restaurant, you've seen a family, and like the husband and wife not saying a word to each other. The husband, wife, and kids not saying a word to each other. Well, that's about 30% or more. 4 in 10 parents don't even eat dinner at the same time as their kids. 10% of families report they never eat dinner together. And 20% would rather watch TV than talk during dinner. But here's the one that hits us all. 44% of families, almost 50%, stare at their mobile phones during meals. Now you see that, right? You see that, or you are that, right? You see it at a restaurant, whole table full of mom, dad, and the kids. 4 or 5 people, and they're all sitting there like this, just doing this on their phone. Looking at other people instead of engaging with their God-given family. One of the things my wife and I try to do is when we sit down in a restaurant, that we take our phones and we put them over to the side so we can concentrate on each other. Now, she's a realtor, and you know she does real estate sometimes. I've eaten many a meal, listened to her close a deal. But apart from that, we set them over to the side and so we can engage with one another, so we can talk to one another. You say, preacher, I don't even know what we'll talk about. Hey, just pick some rando in the restaurant and talk about them. Do something. Find something to talk about when you're in a restaurant. Look at that woman over there. She's been doing real estate the whole time. Her husband has been sitting there. No, whatever. Because the reason I say this is this. Families are missing one of the most important opportunities to build a home they have. Now listen, I'm not painting the Cleavers here, for those of you who know June and Ward Cleaver series, is that right? June Ward Cleaver. I'm not painting June and Ward Cleaver here. You coming home, your wife's all decked out with bouffant hairdo and a dress, and you're eating out of china and crystal glasses. Hey, McDonald's works just fine. I know we are busy. I know that we are. But here's what I need you to understand this morning, that every choice you make lays the next brick in the home you're building. Every decision you make, every choice you make, you are building a brick, and you're going to wind up living in the home that you're building. And so when we get to Proverbs chapter 24, listen, Proverbs is just written to regular folks trying to keep their kids out of the ditch, trying to keep their marriage halfway happy and keep their life from falling apart. Who they wrote to in Proverbs are a bunch of people that wanted a home that honored God, but they were just like us. They were standing knee deep in the mess of everyday life, and oftentimes they did not know where to start. And look, that's us, right? You're working hard, keep the lights on, food on the table, shoes on the kids' feet, and here, hey, I know what modern life is like. You're running from the job to the schoolhouse, from the ball field to the grocery store, running through Taco Bell on the way home, all the while, trying not to lose your temper and wind up in a knockdown dragout every time you walk into the car. It's all right, you can say, oh me. But you've seen that first class family. You've seen them, right? The ones where the kids are real respectful to their parents. The ones where the marriage still has joy inside of that, and something inside you said, I want that. You want a home where your children grow up with strong character, and your marriage is fun, happy, and can we say even a little bit hot? You know what I'm saying? You know, like, you want that. But you still feel the gap between what you want and what you've got. And can I be truthful? Write it down. You cannot raise a first-class family on autopilot. You just can't let it happen to you and wind up with the kind of home that you want to live in. The problem is you want to run your home right, but your days are spent before you get out of the bed in the morning. You drag through the door at night, worn out. Your tempers are already short from a rough day at work or whatever it may be in, and things that shouldn't matter turn your house into a war zone. Nobody wants to fight, but it breaks out anyway. And you feel that pressure every single day in your chest. And in the back of your mind, you're like, am I blowing this? Am I making a mess of my marriage, out of my family? And Proverbs comes along and it simplifies it just a little bit. Because I want to tell you this, if you ignore what God says, you're building a house that will not hold up. That's just the bottom line. It's truth. You cannot ignore what God says in His Word and build a marriage or a family that will hold up over the long haul. Because I want to tell you this morning, the devil loves a tired house. The devil loves a house filled with chaos. And that brings about our biggest fear, right? Spouses that start drifting apart. We raise kids who don't want to come back home. We live in the same house, but we don't really know each other. We stay married, but disconnected. And when you become empty nesters, the nest is a lot more empty than what you want it to be. All of that many times is because we had a broken blueprint that built a broken home. Now listen, I'm not up here looking down at you. I feel for you. My wife and I dealt with that tension inside of our home. Listen, I remember growing up in a subdivision. Our house is really, really close to each other. And I remember growing up, my parents, listen, I have dealt with the silence in the home. My parents are much more the silent type, get mad, not talk. But we had some neighbors who were get mad and just put on a show for all of us to hear. Y'all may be that person. Screaming, yelling, pots come flying out the front door, you know. Hey, I've heard the volume. I've heard the silence. Hey, I've been in ministry 30 years. I have been doing marriage counseling in my office. This one time in particular, I was about to call 911. It was so bad in my office, my assistant ran out of the building. I've seen all that. My whole ministry, I've dealt with families that were on the brink. My whole ministry, I've dealt with families, come on now, that look good on Sundays, but it hid what was really happening on Mondays. Normally, there's at least one person, if not all the people in the home, that want to put on a good show on Sundays. You go back to your knockdown drag out on Mondays, but I want to tell you something this morning. If you don't address the issue, it will not stay covered up. It just won't. God has not slammed the door on your marriage. God sees the cold shoulders and the nights where you stay up with anxiety over your kids, over your spouse. And right in the middle of that, He can lay out some advice and help for all of us trying to do right by our family. So would you stand with me as we honor God's word by reading it, Proverbs chapter 24. It's right in the middle of your Bible, Proverbs 24. We're going to read two verses that God gives us this general advice to all families. Grandparents, great, this is for you. Brand new parents, great, this is for you. Just got married, this works for you. Not married yet, take some notes. Proverbs 24, verse 3. A house is built by wisdom, and it is established by understanding. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with every precious and beautiful treasure. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to start by telling you this, that any advice that God's ever going to give you always works best if all parties are engaged in that advice, right? It's really hard for one person in the family to want to do this and the others not. So it doesn't matter if you're the husband or you're the wife or you're the kids or whomever it may be. Listen, this is for all of us. Everybody listen to me, because it takes an effort by all of us to make this right. So what does God tell all of us? First of all, I want to walk you through the verses. Proverbs 24, verse 3. He said, a house is built. Of course, we know when he's talking about a house, he's not talking about a physical house. He's talking about the home you live in. He says it is built. What does he mean by built? He means that you're putting things in place where they ought to go. Now, you know how to build a real home. Let me talk about what he's talking about here. He's talking about that we're building the things, the bricks in our home that cause our home to be what we want it to be and what God wants it to be. What does that mean? That is the habits we live by, the words we speak, the rules we set in our house, the way you deal and handle with each other. All of that is how you build your home. So the decisions you make are building your home. The attitudes you have are building your home. The words you speak are building your home. Every time, your decisions, your actions, your attitudes, your words, all of those are another brick in your home. So the way you talk to each other, that's a brick in the home. The attitude you have, that's a brick in the home. The decisions you make, there's a brick in a home. And you add all that up and you have built the home you're living in. So God said, a house, a home is built how? By wisdom. That is knowing what to do and knowing the biblical way of doing things. Wisdom is always God's way of doing things. So here's what God said. A house that's going to be built correctly, a home that's going to be built correctly, will be built around God's way of doing things. What does that mean? God's way of handling money, God's way of talking to one another, God's way of working, God's way of parenting, God's way of marriage. All of that is I must find out if I'm going to build a home that I want to live in, I've got to find out what does God say? Because I'll be honest, when the husband's doing what God says, the home's going to click. When the wife is doing what God says, the home's going to click. When the parents are doing what God says, the home's going to be great. When the kids are doing what God says, we are going to build a house on wisdom. Not only that, he said it needs to be established. Another word for established there would be rooted, would be steady, would be to hold on. Proverbs is saying, a strong home has patterns and priorities that help establish or take root in the home. These patterns stay the same, whether money is tight, whether the schedule gets crazy or not. These patterns stay the same. These roots have taken place in our home. We are established, and here's how we operate. And he also says it's established by understanding. These are two words we're going to look at again in just a moment. What does it mean by understanding? Well, that's knowing how to read what's really going on in your home, what to do about it. In family life, it sees patterns early, right? Spending trends before the bills get too high, like you know what's going on with your finances. Tension with the sharp word. Let me tell you what understanding is. I'm sum it all up with this. Men, let's look this way. Understanding is when you go to your wife because you sense a little something. And you say, you all right? And she says, I'm fine. And you knowing she ain't really fine. Y'all with me? That's understanding. That's, hey, I wasn't born last night. I know what's going on, right? That's understanding, knowing how your home operates. We'll go to verse 24. By knowledge. Now look at the words we're looking at so far. Wisdom, understanding, by knowledge. That the word here in the Hebrew, knowledge, is practical insight from seeing how life really works. What does that mean? It comes from watching what works and what wrecks a home. Knowledge is me being able to look at. It's this first class sermon series I'm doing. I want what they've got. I see what's working in their home, and I like to build my home like they're doing as well. It's looking in the Bible and seeing what worked. Listen to this. It's also the ability to see what is not working somewhere else. We'll talk about that again in just a moment. You learn from that as well. And then he said, by knowledge, the rooms are filled. It means something that is packed full. Too many Christians even have empty homes. Now, this is not a hoarder's pet verse right here. Let's fill the rooms up with stuff. He's talking about rooms that are empty of love, support, joy, peace, calm, God. He said those are the rooms. With that knowledge, the rooms in your home should be filled. How do we know it's talking about that? Look at this. Every precious and beautiful treasure. Some translate the word rare. What's rare in the modern home? I can give you a few things. Laughter. It's rare in the modern home. Peace, it's rare in the modern home. Security, safety, emotional safety in the home, it's rare. Joy, fun, presence. I mean, there's so little presence in our homes now. As we can be in the same room, but we're not in the same place. We're all sitting here scrolling a feed. Trust, faith, all in the home. These are what's rare in the home. And the Bible says, hey, fill the room up with that rare treasure. Fill the room up with that precious treasure. And this is the kind of home we want to come to. That's the kind of home we want to build. I mean, after all, it's the same book of Proverbs that says basically, and I paraphrase, better to be poor and live in a house full of joy than to have everything but have strife in the home. Strife is not rare in the home. Money's not even rare in the home. But it's how we deal with all that. It's that laughter, those things we actually need to have a happy marriage and to have a great family together. So there are the verses. How do I put those into action? I'm going to give you four things, I think, this morning that four questions to ask yourself that'll help us put those two verses in action. Number one is this. Build your home on the Bible. Ask yourself this. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? It's all you got to ask. That's where all wisdom for your family comes from. The closer you get to God, the better you be. Now listen, I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but listen, there is good advice. And by the way, I believe truth is truth wherever truth is found. God is the author of truth, and God can put truth in whatever place he wants to put truth, and I can find it. But the problem is that we tend to go everywhere but the Bible, and the Bible is where ultimate truth is found. The Bible is all truth, right? I can't say that about TikTok. Is TikTok all truth? Answer me. TikTok all truth? No. Instagram all truth? No. Twitter, of course, is. Facebook all truth? No, nothing's all truth. Nothing's all truth. Are daytime talk shows all truth? No. Are podcasts all truth? No. No, the only place I can go for all truth is the Word of God. So hear me, I'm not against, but we got to quit TikTok marrying ourselves. We got to quit Instagramming parenting ourselves, because the truth comes from the Word of God. And the truth is that many a Christian can quote an influencer, but they cannot quote the Bible. And all of the wisdom I need for my marriage, for my family says, what does the Bible say? Because let me tell you what happens. We need the Holy Spirit of God operating through the Word of God, operating through that marriage, operating through that husband, operating through that wife, operating through those parents and through those kids. And we all need to go, look, can you imagine a marriage where the wife gets in the Word in the morning and prays and gets closer to God, and the husband gets in the Word in the morning and prays and gets closer to God? Listen, the closer to God you get as an individual, the closer you're going to become to one another. That's why we need the wisdom of that book. That's why we need the wisdom of that book for being a good wife. Just go and say, hey, what does God say about being a good wife? Let me read those verses. Put those in play in my life. See what happens. What does God say about being a good husband? Let me go read those verses and put those in play and do what God says. What does God say about being a good parent? What does God say about being a good teen? See, I go and I ask, what does the Bible say? And listen, when you start reorienting your life to live according to the Bible, to parent according to the Bible, to husband according to the Bible, to wife according to the Bible. And see what I'm doing? I'm putting good bricks on my house. I'm putting some good bricks. I'm building that thing right. Which is exactly what God said do. Ask yourself, build your home on the Bible, and just ask yourself, let this be your default. What does the Bible say? Second thing, have habits, routines, and traditions as a family. Ask yourself this question. What are they going to remember? What are they going to remember? Probably every parent in here, with few exceptions, have broken out into the pan-throwing, window-rattling argument in front of your kids that you regret. There's part of you that is like, hey, I don't want my kids to remember that. Well, there's a way to bury that memory. That you establish the right habits, routines, and traditions as a family. So what do you mean by that? You root, remember that word establish? Remember the word established there we talked about? You bury roots into some habits, routines, and traditions that'll matter. For example, one of the habits, routines, and traditions you ought to bury your family, the roots of your family, in is coming to church. There are so many studies. There are so many. You go Google it yourself. You don't have to listen to a preacher. Go Google it. The benefits of being regular attenders in church, to being here all the time. It is good for your family. Let me tell you what else matters. Your kids, the studies show now that if you were faithful to church with your kids when they were young, your kids are more likely to be faithful to church as young adults, parents, and even later on in life. You can't expect them to be later on what you weren't then. Now, you can break that cycle. Many of you in this room and in other rooms here that listen to me, you've broken the cycle of you weren't faithful as a kid, but you're faithful now. And glory to God for that. But the most likely way to have success is to establish that pattern early on and just don't miss. Just don't miss. Serving God together, praying together as a family. Study, listen, and just start establishing those just a few. Listen, studies show that children who grow up with consistent family traditions have better self-esteem, stronger family ties, and improved mental health. That's just these regular traditions. Church is part of that. Research from the journal Family Relations reports that regular routines and rituals improve marital satisfaction. Family leisure, that is doing enjoyable activities together. Doesn't have to be a vacation. It's just having fun together. Emerged as the strongest predictor of household life satisfaction, more so than just spending time together. In other words, you ought to build these routines and habits into your home. That is part of digging roots. Many of you have these. Some of you don't. I don't have a ton of these. I have a few, but some of you do. You have these. Oh, I remember every year on blank, we went to Papa's house or Mama's house or whatever it may be. My parents always did this. We never missed church. Those matter. I can't tell you how many times to me, my precious wife has said to me, when our kids were little, we had no money at all. My wife would say, Joel, I want to do this because I want my two girls to remember this tradition that we did. I want to build this into, I want to dig those roots down as deeply as I can for my girls. Now she does it with the grandkids. We say it all the time. I want the grandkids. They're growing up so quickly. I want to dig these roots down. I want to establish these traditions with them. Coming to church together, serving God together, living for Jesus together, fun things. Listen, you go back and ask yourself the question right here. What are they going to remember? What do you want them to remember? Go back and make it true. Number three, let me give you this. Learn from other people's mistakes. Ask yourself the question, where did they go wrong? This was that knowledge thing we talked about, right? Get knowledge from what works and what wrecks at home. Just look around. Here, a study published in Wired magazine said this, we learn more from others' mistakes than we do their successes. Now, you ought to learn from both. I'm all for you learning from both. But look around. And when a marriage failed, say, I wonder where that went wrong. Look around when a family fell apart. Now, don't go up to somebody and be like, hey, you raised two hellions. Tell me what you did because I don't want to do that. Your kids are a mess. Do you know that? Your kids are a mess. I mean, like, hey, your marriage, your divorce was final yesterday. Tell me, what'd you do wrong? You know, I'm not suggesting, but have some common sense. Look around and say, hey, they've been married 50 years. Let me go ask them. They didn't make it. Let me just, from the best I can tell, dissect that. You learn from that's the knowledge. It is just look around you and use some common sense. And then number four, flood your home with rare things. Ask yourself this question, what do I want my home to feel like? Right? What do I want my home to feel like? Do you want your home to feel fun? Then you're going to have to do fun things. Do you want your home to be filled with laughter? Then you're going to have to take some tension out of your family. Do you want your home to have joy, peace, calm, presence? Listen, then you're going to have to lay those bricks in your home. What do you want your home to feel like? And then set about to do them. You're not going to change it overnight. Can I tell you what I don't have? Don't have a magic wand. I don't even have a magic verse. I don't have a verse that I can say, well, if you just read this one verse, stand in the middle of your living room, read this one verse, everybody's magically going to change and be who they ought to be. It just doesn't exist. No, you're building a home you live in one brick at a time, one decision at a time, one action at a time. I'm not guaranteeing success. I'm trying to keep you in the lane and tell you your chances are better if you do this. You ignore Proverbs 24. At best, your marriage will be flat, and at worst, you're not going to make it. Ignore Proverbs 24, your kids are going to get wounds and scars. Ignore Proverbs 24, and your home will be miserable, and they'll avoid it when at all possible. Ignore Proverbs 24, and God will get left behind. It could result in eternal consequences. But you listen to Proverbs 24. Your marriage can be filled with love and passion. You want both, right? Love and passion. You can have well-adjusted kids and know Jesus. Listen, I'm not saying perfect kids. Ain't nobody got perfect kids. You weren't a perfect kid. Ain't nobody got them. But you just want well-adjusted kids that love Jesus. That's all we're all going for. You could become the home that became the hub. Listen, if you have a goal as a parent, here's your goal. If you got little kids, you got toddlers, here's your goal. You want your home to be the hub. That was always my wife and my, that was always my wife's goal. I want my home to be the hub. I want to be the place where my girls' friends want to come to our house and hang out. I cannot tell you. I had two girls, so I was left out of this. It had nothing to do with me. I would come home, and my girls would have brought some friends home from school or whatever, ball practice, whatever it may have been. And I'd come home, and I'd find two, three, four girls sitting on my bed in my bedroom talking to my wife. Laughing, giggling, getting life advice, because she said, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make my home the hub. Listen to Proverbs 24. You'll have a family that, you have such a good chance of a family that'll know and love Jesus. Close your Bibles. I'm finished. Here's the truth. Let me say a couple things. Your house is always under construction. Just build what lasts. Just build what lasts. Right? Some of you need to tear down some walls in your house and build some new ones. Some of you can start right here and just put new bricks on the wall. I tried to think of a way to sum up my entire sermon. And y'all know how my mind works now. I'm getting grandkids a little bit. And here's what I thought. Build the kind of home your grandchildren will thank you for. Long after you're dead and gone. Man, I appreciate what my grandparents did. You say, I'm 25 years old. Think that far out. Think that far out. Let me weirdly close. Everybody whose marriage is falling apart, would you? No, that's a joke. Just make sure you're paying attention. You're a little slow there. Let me weirdly close. You don't even know what I'm doing. How many of you know what your credit score is? Can I see your hand? You know what your credit score is? Dalton, Rossville, or online? All right, you know your credit score. All right. Do you know average U.S. credit score is about 715 to 717? What determines our credit score? Here's some things. Payment history makes up 35%. Amount you owe makes up about 30%. Length of credit history is about 15%. New credit and credit mix counts for about 10%. Length of negative marks, late payments, and collections stay on your report for 7 years, and bankruptcy can remain for 7 to 10 years, depending on the type it is. You say, what in the world does this have to do with family? Here's what I'm saying. Your credit score is just a number that tells me about your financial decisions along the way. Your credit score is the summation of all your financial decisions. I'll never forget, our oldest daughter, Savannah, was a teenager, and she heard me and Mom talking about credit score one day, and she said, that doesn't matter. That number doesn't matter. And I'm like, what? She's like, it doesn't matter. Nobody looks at your credit score. She's probably 16, so I don't know how old she was. She's a teenager. And we're like, yeah, it matters. She said, what does he make? All they care is if you have the money or not. And I'm like, no, it doesn't work that way, baby. Listen to us on this. She's, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm like, kind of does. She's like, well, tell me where it matters. I don't know. Buying anything? Cars, houses? Unless you're holding on to piles of cash I don't know about as a teenager, like, it's going to happen. Fact is, your score is a reflection of every financial decision in one tidy number. So is your home. Here's what I want us to do. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes?
Thank you, Pastor Joel, for that great message. And truly, in our world today, culture's a mess because our families are a mess. And we need families that are building, moms and dads who are building their family on the Word of God. And I'm so thankful for that direction this morning. But mom, dad, the truth is this. You're incapable of building your family on the Word of God without a relationship with Jesus. Maybe as you listen to Pastor Joel's message this morning, you were reminded of your need to put your faith and trust in Him. It begins with you understanding that you have sinned and that your sin has separated you from God. You've got to be willing to admit that. And then Jesus, not satisfied with the separation, longing to have a relationship with us, God sent Jesus to die on the cross to take the penalty for my sin and for your sin. You've got to believe that. And then according to Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, we believe that in our heart and we confess it with our mouth and we will be saved. And maybe that's where you're at this morning and you need to give your heart and life to Christ. Tell God this, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I'm sorry for my sin. I believe that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again to pay the price for my sin, to close the gap created by my sin. And Lord, now through the power of your Holy Spirit, I ask you to take up residence in my heart and in my life. Be my Savior. Lord, I give my life to you in Jesus' name. Hey, this morning, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I want to say welcome to the family. We want to celebrate with you and we want to help you take next steps on your faith journey with Jesus. So we've just dropped a link in the chat box. It says, I commit my life to Christ. Click on that, answer a few questions. I'll be in touch this week. Our time together has been great. I look forward to seeing you next week. God bless you. Have a great week.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message this week as we help equip you to apply God's Word to your daily life. For the latest updates about what's happening around Peavine City, be sure to connect with us on social media. For more information about Peavine, to get in touch with us, or check out one of our services, visit us at peavine.org. Thanks for listening.